we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and just my thought is, Jesus said in John 15:20, and do I have a little echo, or is it just me up here? Am I okay? You got echo. Got a little echo. We can take the echo out. We're adjusting to this new stage, but I really like it. And the team's here early. They're here early working on things. It's amazing what can go wrong with the technology when it's everything should go right. And it's not our people all the time. It's just, we just have teams. And the drums was one of those things. Not the drummer, but if you heard a hum, we've been working on that all morning to try to figure out what's going on. Anyway, Jesus said that if we abide in Him, He would abide in us. Isn't that good news? And then He went on to say in John 15 that without Him we could do nothing. And so, if we're going to bear the fruit of the Spirit, which we're going to read again in a minute, the same scripture we've read for 2 weeks, that it's important to be vitally attached to the Lord. Fruit there in Galatians is a singular word that envelops nine fruit. And the lesson is that we should be bearing all of these fruits if we're abiding in Him. Guess what? It takes fruit time to mature, doesn't it? So there's maturity that takes place. And we also learned that there's an increase of fruit as we walk with Jesus. Last week we talked about really probably my favorite topic, agape love. The love of Christ, from Christ, and the love of Christ living in us, loving those around us. This week we'll speak about joy. Is there any joy in the house?
Amen.
Monday's coming. You got to have to say joy on Monday, don't you? I'll pick this up. And, you know, people look for joy in all varieties of places. And they look for, and let me just say this, probably say it 5 times. True joy, inner joy, comes only through Jesus Christ. And He gives it. And it's real. But men have looked everywhere. Men and women looked everywhere to try to find joy and happiness. And they always said that, look where joy cannot be found. Unbelievers say they have joy sometimes, but you don't find joy in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel, but just a dark sinner. And toward the end of his life, he said, I wish I'd never been born. You can't find joy in pleasure. Lord Byron, some of you may know who he was, he lived his whole life in pleasure. And on his deathbed, he said, the worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone. You can't find joy in money, although the Lord doesn't mind if you have money. But you can't find your joy there. Jay Gould, an American multimillionaire, said this, and he had plenty of money. When dying, he said, I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth. You can't find joy in position or fame. Nothing necessarily wrong with position or fame. Listen, you just can't find joy there. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed position and fame all his life. He wrote this toward the end of his life. Get this. The guy that had everything. Youth is a mistake. Manhood a struggle. Old age a great regret. Not military glory. And I'm thankful for our military, aren't you? Most of you have heard of Alexander the Great. Conquered the known world of his day. That's what he lived to do, and having done so, he went to his tent and wept and told 2 of his closest generals as he cried, there are no more worlds. There's nothing wrong with some pleasure and recreation. Nothing wrong with money and provision. Nothing wrong with position and fame, as long as you do it for the Lord's glory. Nothing wrong with patting each other on the back. But none of it brings joy. Only knowing Jesus Christ will bring true joy. Being in Him and He in you will bring true joy. In Christ alone is true joy. Galatians 5:16, and read it with me again. Verse 16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. Yeah, let me jump ahead. So I say, walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you don't do whatever you want, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious.
Yes, that was my bad this time.
Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, hey, read it with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And I always like to put in another word for forbearance is patience. It's tough. We looked at love last week. Let's look at joy this week. And I don't know, I'm just bringing a piece of fruit every week, but this is the second one out of the box. Shouldn't we have a altar call already? The joy word in the Greek is chara. And there's a version of joy, and we're going to talk about that. It means to have delight or gladness of heart. In fact, joy goes beyond mere emotion. It's one thing to be happy. It's another thing to have joy. It's one thing to be unhappy. Did you know you can go through unhappy times and still have joy? That's what I'm talking about this morning. It refers to being glad in Christ and joyful regardless of what you're going through. It's an attitude, and I might say a perspective. Say perspective. Say perspective. It's an attitude or perspective regardless of the circumstance you're in. So many times we allow circumstances or people or outside situations ruin our day. Sometimes we let them ruin our week. Sometimes we let them ruin our year. Well, it doesn't have to be that way, church. Jesus said you can have joy all the time. And we know that if we live long enough, we're going to be in the low times and the high times. We know there's going to be, and we're supposed to love everybody, aren't we? But we're going to know there's people we don't connect with very well and others that we do. But there needs to be a deep inner joy. If we're abiding in Christ and maturing and growing in Christ, there should be an increase of joy in our life regardless of what we're going through. That's what the Bible teaches. And a lot of times, and I need to say it now, it's our perspective. Because usually we don't see things the way they are, we see things the way we are. Some people just see the negative thing in everything they see. If you're one of those persons, I'll tell you, it'll steal your joy. Other people look for the best in the situations and they live in joy. Philippians 4:4, it's just one verse I'd like to read with you. Paul writing to the Philippians said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, rejoice is another form of the word joy. And he says it two times in one sentence. In fact, it's the 12th and the 13th time Paul writes about it in one short letter. Now, there's so many things that make that powerful. But he was responding in joy and writing in joy. But what makes that significant is Paul was in prison. When he wrote this, he wrote about joy in jail. And most, look, prisons aren't good anywhere. But he was likely chained to a wall, maybe completely naked, or chained to another soldier. He was suffering greatly. And Paul had the gladness of heart in the trial. Paul had gladness of heart, regardless of the outward circumstances, to live in joy and teach us about joy today. Hey, look to your neighbor and say, you need joy in your heart. Why do we let all these outward things steal our joy? Paul didn't just write about it, he lived it. It wasn't a theory. He lived it. And let me tell you, what I'm talking about this morning is not a theory. You can live it. The joy of Jesus can live in you. Joy is also spelled J-E-S-U-S. And if he's living in you, your joy, there should be a maturing and a growing in that joy. Regardless of what is happening in, there should be an increase as you walk with the Lord. Now, the hardest part of that verse, there's a hard part to that verse, if that's not already challenging. You know, I've watched the crowd, I've watched you this last 3 weeks. This series is challenging. Do you have joy just on Sunday morning for an hour and a half, or do you live joyfully rejoicing? It's a challenging part of this verse. It's really challenging to me. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Now, you know what always means in Greek? Always. That's the hardest part of the verse. Because we tend to think and live that joy comes and goes depending on the circumstance that we're in. That there's something conditional. And all the condition is to walk with Jesus and be vitally attached. And let me tell you something here, as you can study anywhere in Scripture, it's not a, maybe you should do this. It's not maybe this is a biblical principle. It's a command from the Lord and from God's work. Yeah. Rejoice in the Lord always! And again, I say rejoice! Remember the old song? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Got great fire in this moment. How in the world is this possible? We always got to get to the how-tos, don't we? We got to get to the takeaway where we can walk out of here and be practical. And I know today some of you are in a deep drought, some aren't, but we all will be. I know that some are struggling in some of their relationships at work, home, school, etc. Some aren't, but we all will be. And we don't, there's a way to keep the world and Satan from stealing our joy. Number one, and Stephen, are you going to get my clock on up there? Is it possible that the electricity shoot the clock?
The electricity shot it.
Hallelujah! I got the truth. The clock has been shot. And we will suffer for it. You more than me. Hey, look, we can always rejoice if we know we've been saved. That's it. All always comes back to that. To know Jesus Christ is to have joy regardless of what happens on this earth. In Hebrews 10, it said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned his shame. And we were his joy, but you know what? The Father was Jesus' joy. Even Jesus knew he wasn't going to be on this earth very long. He was going to heaven to be with the Father. We can know joy just to know that it is well with our soul. Hallelujah. You know, in Luke chapter 10, we're not going to turn there this morning. Jesus sent out 72 guys to minister. Sent them to the highways and byways and the towns and the villages. And they come back. They were on fire. They had seen people's lives transformed. They had seen the sick healed. They had seen demons cast out of people. They had been walking in the miraculous, and God had been using them. And all that is good, isn't it? And Jesus still does that today. And they're just having a hallelujah testimony time party. And then Jesus says this to him in Luke 10:20. And he's speaking to him, and he says, however, and he's commanding them and etc. He says, however, do not rejoice, that's the joy word again, kara, a form of it, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written down in heaven. Church, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior this morning, and you've invited Him in and made Him Lord and Savior of your life, whatever happens on this earth, happens on this earth, but if you know it well in your soul, don't let this world steal your joy, because you don't belong to this world. We're just passing through when we get so attached to it. And when we get so attached to it, it begins to steal what's inside. So we lose our focus. You said, I don't know this joy this morning. Jesus said that anybody, God so loved the world, He gave His Son, so that anybody who believed might have eternal life and not perish. You may have come as an unbeliever this morning, and if you think about what I'm telling you is true, and there's nothing wrong with some of those things I said, but you won't find joy, and you won't find peace, and you won't find purpose in the stuff of this world. It's found in Jesus Christ. And if you will invite Him in, He'll forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of your dark ways and save you forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can't let joy be stolen from. Sometimes we have trials inside the church. Well, what's that all about? Well, it's been happening ever since the Bible was being written. There's conflict outside the church. Sometimes there's conflict inside the church. Don't let the enemy in the flesh steal your joy. Jesus lives inside of you. You're going to heaven. What else do you need? Dear Lord. I'm standing here today, and I'll tell you, the anointing on our worship team just continues to increase. And I'm worshiping the Lord, and I'm thinking, Jesus, I feel so full. There is so much love, joy, peace, man. And this isn't nothing to what it's going to be like. Just going to turn it with you. Woo! And then I begin to cry, and the handkerchief come out. But you know what? It wasn't tears of sorrow. It was tears of joy. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It'll be worth anything you go through or will go through. Jesus will be worth it all someday. We have brothers and sisters dying all around the world, joyfully, for the cause of Christ. Hallelujah. My mom, I talked to her this morning very, very early. And she's ready to go be with the Lord. I don't know if she's going to go. But she said, Dad, I just would rather go home and be with Jesus. She suffered for about 5 years. She really suffered for about 5 years. Not one time has she lost her joy. I call her to cheer her up, and she cheers me up. Because it's a joy of the Lord. I wonder, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior this morning? Scripture says that He's the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father. And if you do know Jesus this morning, do you walk in this joy consistently? I'm talking about number two. We can always respond with joy because others come to Christ. Not just that we know it is well with our soul. I tell you, it's a joy to see other people find Christ as Savior, isn't it? I'm talking about Luke 15, which, boy, Luke 15, if you haven't read that in the Bible, talks about the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, and there were 100 sheep, and you remember one got lost. And then you read in Luke 15:7, Jesus was teaching the disciples. He said, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing, there's that word again, in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. See, if you have Christ this morning, you're already saved. But every time somebody gives their heart to repentance and gives their heart to Christ, Jesus rejoices. Heaven rejoices. And don't you rejoice when a family member comes in or a friend or somebody you've been talking to? These altars, the last 10 weeks, I think 8 out of 10 weeks, somebody has given their heart to Christ. Isn't that wonderful? If that doesn't bring your joy level up to see people saved, I have to question if you even have joy. Rejoice when somebody gets saved. Rejoice. Be as happy as they are. Be happier than they are. Because it will affect your joy level. As the joy of Jesus flows through you, it will touch others. In Acts 15, the early church was rejoicing. Verses 3 and 4, I think we've got that. The church sent them on their way as they traveled from Phoenicia to Samaria. They told that the Jewish folk had been getting saved, and now the Gentiles had been converted. Look at this, and the very glad is the word for joy. This news made all the believers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Let's get excited about winning the lost. Let's get excited about making those touches. Let's get excited about random acts of kindness. Let's get excited about praying with people who are not here. Let's get excited about seeing people come to Jesus. We need to get excited to see people come to Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Him and it's about them. And that's why we do what we do. Isn't it wonderful? Glory to Jesus. We need to have a party like they party in heaven every time somebody gets saved. That's why many times when somebody gets saved up here, I have you get in here and congratulate them before we leave. We need to celebrate with them what Jesus has done in their life. How many of you praying for family members? I've told this story, but I felt impressed to tell it again. I haven't told it in a while. I prayed for my grandfather, Pop Pete, for years. He lived to be 89. He lived in the world about 85 or 86 of those years. My grandmother went to church, stayed in church. You know her story. You've heard it. Just put it this way. And I had a really good grandfather. He was good to us. He always was good to my grandmother. She stuck with me. The last few years of his life, Pop Pete would give his heart to Christ. He couldn't get out of the house. He used to walk and sit in a recliner. He could get up and eat, but he didn't even go out of the house any longer. He gave his heart to Christ, and I'd always visit him once or twice a week, and he'd tell me about the few preachers he was listening to on television. That's the only preachers he had. And I could tell that when Pop Pete had been transformed. Now, set that here. Let me insert. When I talked to my grandmother after Pop Pete passed, and she told me that I already knew how she had suffered many times, she said, Dale, if I had, and she talked about Pop Pete accepting Christ and how he changed the last few years of his life and how he was in heaven. She said, Dale, I would do the same thing and make the same decisions all over again. It was worth it. She knew the joy of a husband that finally got saved. And she said it was joy. Many years ago, as y'all know, we were at Casa Grande. We were here 22 years in April, by the way. And in Casa Grande 3, 25 years. We packed up everything we owned because God called us to Arizona. We spent the night at my parents' house, who was about 100 yards down the street from my grandparents' house, Poppy and Mom and Edina. We were going to leave before daylight, and I'd said goodbye to my grandfather the day before. I hopped in the truck. Darla and Trey, and Trey was just a little one, and a little dog named Banjo, were still saying goodbye to my mom and dad. I had said goodbye to mom and dad, and I walked on. And I'm sitting in the truck, and I looked through the window, and the sun was just beginning to rise. And looking down the street to my left, I could see a shadow moving slowly. And at first I didn't pay any attention, but as it got closer and closer, and it got from about here to that dark wall, I realized it was Poppy. Walking down the street. He got to the truck, and remember I'm over here, biggest truck you can rent. I see his hands grab the window. And he put his leg on the, what do you call it, a sideboard, and he pulled himself up. He said, he called everybody his. He said, Butch. He said, if I don't see you again down here, I'll see you up there. And he got down. The guy was over. And as he got down, he looked at him and said, yes, Poppy, you will. And he got down and he lived. It's a symbol of what joy. We'll only be here a year and a half on Sunday night. I would get word that Poppy had gone to be with Jesus. What joy! Light thy soul. But then number one, if you're saved, rejoice. Woo. Number two, if somebody else gets saved, rejoice. Jesus said, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Peter said, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. An inheritance kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is being ready to be revealed at that time. I tell you, David knew what he was doing when he wrote, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Lastly, we can have joy knowing that the challenges of life are shaping us and that God is for us, the Bible says, and not be against us. And then the Bible goes on to say, if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? This is where it gets a little tough and challenging. This one's really big. But if you can get a hold of this simple concept, it will change your life forever on this earth. That everything that's come your way has at a minimum come through God's hand. And again, if you believe He's for you, you will find that He's developing fruit inside of you. James 1, 2 through 4, I want to read it. It's a great scripture. Wow. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know, look your neighbor and say, you know, that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance, that means through the trial, persevere. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, that's the fruit that's growing in you, and complete, not lacking anything, that's the increase. So one, to know it as well with your soul should keep you in it. Two, to see people saved, any people, not just your pop piece of your life, but anybody will give you joy. But to know when the rubber's meeting the road and you're having a difficult time that God is still in you and His grace is sufficient. Just knowing that and believing that and abiding and leaning into Christ, staying vitally attached with Christ, all of a sudden joy will be produced inside of you in some of the worst situations. Because many times it's the difficult, the painful things that this world brings us, the unfair things. Most all of us have victimized, and most any of us here have been victims to some degree. There's a story of a young lady. I mean, you talk about a series of long tragedies. Your mother, before she passed, her mother died, her two brothers died. She was left alone. Right after that, her father remarried, which was a good thing. But as soon as he remarried, it was only a month or two after that her father died too. She was going to college and she was under it. The pressure was on her and she began to fail all her classes because of the stress in her life. To deal with the stress, you know, when you're going through something, if you don't press into Jesus, you'll always default to something else. You don't go to Christ to relieve your stress, you'll go to something. She went to alcohol. She became a severe alcoholic, drinking heavily. She decided to go to a Chi Alpha meeting. That's our college group. Some have got college groups on colleges all across America. Guess what happened at Chi Alpha? This young lady gave her heart to Christ, and she was radically transformed. She invited Christ into her heart. The alcohol fell off. She surrendered her life as we sang this morning. And boy, that surrender song's a good one. She surrendered her life to Christ and began to walk with Him, loving with all of her heart. And God was doing great things. She was beginning to get involved in ministry and serve and give glory to God. She had experienced, she said, a joy that she had never known before. That's what Christ will do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
She began to share with others all that joy, which she should do. And in her mind, and people make this mistake, she thought all her hard times were over. I meet people all the time that blame God for their hard times. Look, hard times are coming. But she thought they were over in her innocence. And she was wrong, of course. Within a short time, she was in two different car accidents. She survived them. She didn't get hurt too bad, but she had two car accidents. Following that, and this was all in a very short period of time, a couple, 2 or 3 years, they found a tumor in her neck, and she had major neck surgery. She survived it. She was at a gathering on campus, and somebody put drugs in her Coca-Cola. And she OD'd and almost died. There was one day on the way to class, somebody pulled a knife on her. She thought her trials were almost over. And I almost can't share this. I thought maybe I'd even leave this out. It wasn't long after that, somebody broke into her apartment and raped her. It was like anything bad that could happen to somebody was happening to her. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. I thought there was one time in my life I went through a little period like that. Her boss finally fired her from her job, and she needed her job. She was going to school on financial aid and working another 30 to 40 hours a week. You know why her boss fired her? He told her, there's so many bad things happening to you, something must be wrong with you. It wasn't the fact that she was a very good worker. He said, so many bad things have happened to you, I don't want you working for me anymore. Through it all, seek Him for joy. She would say, and I quote, "Listen, I realize that God is all I have. Other people may have security. I have only Him. And everything that has happened to me has made me see this clear." James said, consider all joy. God is shaping. John 15, Jesus said, without me, you can do same with me. In this world, we may have goods, medium goods, no goods. We may have fame or fortune, that's all in the Lord's hands. We may have position or power and leadership, and all that can be good. But when it all comes down to the end, realizing that Jesus is enough, and that is all we need, to thick and thin, will always produce joy in your heart. You see, there is a divine hand, there's a deep inner joy that will manifest in you regardless of, hey, don't let the world steal your joy. Hey! Quit preaching that baby. Well, the fellow quite done, didn't he? And if you don't allow the Lord to work in you, and you don't deal with it, you'll become like that then. You can focus on the bitter things of life, and in doing so, you'll become bitter. Like these women, lemons. Or you can choose to trust God. You can choose to trust Jesus. You can abide in the Lord. And I give you my word. As a pastor, preaching the word every time, not 90% of the time. If you abide in Him, you'll make lemonade.